How's everybody doing today? Welcome back to another episode of The Banker Next Door. I am your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. Today, I wanted to talk to everybody a little bit about vendor versus partner. And I wanted to talk a little bit about those terms and what that means. I saw a very interesting piece this week. I've talked before about the PCBB and how they have basically like a daily newsletter that they put out every week. And they come across some incredible, really good topics. And so I saw one here earlier this week, and this was called The Risky Side of FinTech Partnerships. And it just got me thinking about that, the definition and the difference between what is a vendor versus what is a partner. You know, we hear all the time, they use this word partnership a lot of times when talking about fintechs. You know, oh, you're gonna partner with the fintech, and it's a partnership. But yet when regulators are coming into the bank and the regulators are talking to the bank about managing the third parties, they don't ever use the word partnership. It's always third party. It's either vendor or third party. You know, you have third party risk management. You have to manage your vendor relationships. They never use the word partnership. And the word partnership always kind of irks me a little bit when that word gets used. And the reason being is because when you think of a partnership is two people or two companies coming together to do something where they are sharing in everything. They're sharing in the profits. They are sharing in the risk and the liability, so to speak. And, you're not hiring them to do something, you are, again, you're going into it together. So say two companies get together and say, hey, we're going to put together a partnership here, and we're going to, I'll use the example like Ford and Mazda got together back in the 90s, and they built a car called the Ford Probe, where it was a Ford, and the probe was sold as a Ford, but the majority of the vehicle was Mazda, and it was a big chunk of it was made by, I believe it was a Mazda engine, Mazda transmission, a big chunk of it was from Mazda. Now, when they went into that partnership, they went into it, you know, together. They shared in the profits, they shared in the risk from the venture, they both put equity into the transaction together. That's not always the case. Like, I mean, if I'm looking to get a company that's going to help the bank manage their Bank Security Act, their BSA back office information and reporting and things that they have to do with that regard. So the bank goes out and they hire a company, and we pay for monthly for a service. We sign a contract and say, okay, we'll have this company will provide us this software, or these services for say a 2-year or 3-year period of time. We pay an initial upfront fee, and then we pay them monthly for that services. And then as we get to the end of that 2-3 year agreement, we look to renew that contract. So that's a standard kind of vendor relationship. You know, we wouldn't refer to that company as a partner. You know, they're not sharing in the bank's profits there, and certainly they're not taking the bank's risks. You know, if something happens, a regulator comes in and hits the bank with a huge fine because we weren't doing something the way we should have been doing it, you know, we're not going back to the vendor and saying, hey, listen, this is your fault. You need to pay this fine for us. You know, the vendor is basically going to say, no, we're not on the hook for that. At the same time, if a vendor has a data breach or something like of that nature, the bank could very much be on the hook for that because it's the bank's customers. It's the bank's data that they're dealing with, and they lose the customer's data. Now the bank has to go back and address that. And then it becomes, you know, and then at that point it's like, all right, well, hey, where's the partnership here? You know, we're in this together, right? And it's like, well, not so fast. Yeah, not so much. Yeah, no, we don't want to, you know, that might be a multi-million dollar mess to clean up. And yeah, we don't want to get involved in all that. So So again, you know, the term partnership means that you're both putting equity, you're both putting something into the agreement together, and that you're both going to share ultimately in the profits and any downside, any risk or things that come up in that transaction or that relationship. And that, like I said, when you're hiring somebody to perform a service, that's not a partnership. That's a third party. That's just a third party relationship or a vendor that you're hiring to perform a specific task. So anyway, that's kind of my diatribe on that, but let's get into this little piece here for a second. So I want to talk about, so here they talk about the hidden risks, you know, what are the hidden risks here? As part of their effort to evaluate the overall strength of the federal banking system, regulators are asking that financial institutions step up their risk management efforts when engaging third parties. This began in June of 2023 when the OCC, the FDIC, and the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System issued guidance on the subject. In December of 2023, the OCC's acting deputy controller, Donna Murphy, testified to the House Subcommittee on Digital Assets, Financial Technology and Inclusion to reiterate the importance of third-party risk management in their fall 2023 semi-annual risk perspective report. Regulators highlighted several risk areas related to third-party relationships and the risk management practices that financial institutions should take to minimize them. Here are specific things that regulators will be watching out for that the CFI should be aware of regarding third-party relationships. So, up-to-date risk management processes, and I will probably break this down more in depth in another episode. And then we go into effective management and board involvement. You know, a financial institution's board of directors is ultimately responsible for overseeing third-party risk management. BSA and AML compliance. Well, you know, one of the things I just mentioned, you know, regulators have cautioned financial institutions to consistently evaluate any Bank Secrecy Act, BSA, or any money laundering, AML, risks related to fintech relationships and the controls that need to be in place as they view these as operational risks. Diligent oversight for complex or higher risk activities. In reviewing risks related to third-party relationships, including fintechs, CFI's risk management efforts should account for the type of relationship as well as the size and complexity of the institution. Third-party relationships involving critical activity contracts, you know, should be approved by the CFI's board of directors, and then retain appropriate talent. You know, regulators have also noted the importance of ensuring that staff with the right level of experience and knowledge is involved in every stage of the risk management process. So, and then it goes down here into kind of like other considerations. So, in addition to outlining specific areas related to risk management of financial partnerships and third-party relationships, regulators have noted that they plan to work with CFIs to create new resources that will make it easier for smaller, non-complex community bank organizations to manage such risks. And CFIs should also keep in mind that fintech partnerships, particularly those that are more complex or elaborate, or where the CFI will be issuing financial institutions for any services or products marketed by the fintech, can mean costly and complicated onboarding, as well as additional costs for ongoing oversight. So just a lot of things to keep in mind there. I think that at the end of the day, the moral of the story, if you will, is that, working with fintechs is great. Working with a lot of the vendors and the third parties that banks work with, which could literally be hundreds, depending on the size. I mean, even a small bank, say you have a $1 billion bank. I mean, you could still easily have 100, 150 vendor or third party relationships that you have to manage year in and year out. I mean, banks have a lot of different companies that they hire for a lot of different reasons. And that only gets larger the bigger the bank gets. I mean, obviously, if you're a $10 billion bank, if you're a $100 billion bank, I mean, that number is just going to grow exponentially. So it's not all roses and rainbows, so to speak. And, these relationships can go bad. You know, a third party vendor, they can let you down. They can mess up. They can do some bad things. They can really do a lot of damage to the bank. So you have to consider that very carefully. So this is why I just wanted, like I said, it's something that was sticking with me for a while, this whole concept of vendor versus partnership. And, you know, there are I think you have to use this terminology very carefully in how it gets put out there. You know, because again, it, like I said, it's just kind of a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. And I will also say this just very quickly, just to note, I mean, you know, if you think about digital transformation, you think about digital transformation projects, most digital transformation projects fail. And I even saw an article this week that talked about a lot of the artificial intelligence projects that like 80% of the artificial intelligence projects that are being attempted right now by a lot of different companies are failing, which I thought was very interesting. So the AI is definitely not going into, you know, or turning into, I guess, as great as people were hoping right out the gate here. So, and again, I would love to get in and break down why a lot of these digital transformations fail. And part of these hidden risks here are why they fail, because, you know, you have to really vet the third party companies that you're signing to. And then these third party companies, like I said, they mess up just like a bank can mess up, just like anybody can mess up. So again, I guess the ultimate reason why I point this out is because you have to look at the downside. You can't just consider all the good things. You also have to look at the bad things also. And you have to really think deeply about what's going on there. And you really have to make sure that you're working with the right vendors, that you're developing those relationships, and that, you know, you're checking the boxes on, you know, contracts, fees, services, like what is all the whole scope of the relationship and what is happening there. So that's my little rant on that vendor versus partner today. So I hope everybody will go and check out some of the other videos I have on here. If you haven't been following my Lords of Easy Money series, please go and check that out. I will have some other episodes coming up today. And like I said, I hope people will go on and check that out. Just remember, we are on YouTube, Rumble, and all major podcast platforms. And please make sure to check out the bankernextdoor.com. But hope to see everybody again real soon. Thanks a lot.